Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, Coxie. I'm listening.
I really had to be quick draw McGraw there.
Well, I was just going to do something weird and wacky, like not say hello.
Oh, would you sit here in silence?
Be a bit risky, wouldn't it, if I did that?
It would be a little risky. We like to measure our risk here at Tradies in Business. That's
just
terrible.
Straight into the segue. It was awful.
Clearly, we didn't measure that risk.
No. But if we talked about it, then we could have actually discussed what we were going to do and recorded it.
That would have been a great idea, Warwick.
Instead, we just press record and talk.
Without thinking.
What's happening, listeners? What's going on?
Happy Tuesday. If you're listening on a Tuesday on the day this drops, happy freaking Tuesday to you. If you're listening outside of that, happy day to you.
Happy day. Happy days.
Or night. Or morning.
It's an interesting time of year as this episode goes live. Coxie, December. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of rushing around and deadlines trying to be met. Probably a lot of people taking risks, actually, trying to get the last of a particular Christmas present or, pushing hard on site, even if I actually make this serious for a moment. And we don't talk about safety, really, on the podcast.
We talk about it a lot on my front veranda as we watch consistently the tradies who are that busy at 6 o'clock in the morning drive straight through the stop sign at the end of our street. And it only really, they never stop properly. Nobody seems to. But particularly at this time of year, those tradies are just so fixated,
flat out,
presumably, on trying to get where they need to be at 6 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's stopping. So, yes, we don't talk about it quite nearly enough here on the podcast, but I'm sure it's a topic of conversation every tradie's home at one point or another.
And I think as business owners, it does a lot of people's heads in because of the amount of work involved to quote unquote meet the requirements. But the requirements are probably not really measuring the right stuff because really they seem to just measure how much you can fill out paperwork and checklists rather than are you actually keeping people safe.
And the system is so confusing, it's hard to know whether you're actually doing anything to keep people safe other than just pointing the finger and telling them what to do.
There's a whole lot of ass covering going on, but doesn't seem to be a heck of a lot of real behavioral change. So we're doing something about it, Coxie.
Are we?
Yes, we're delegating it to someone else who knows what they're talking about. No, we have a couple of guys on the podcast today that, a couple of surprises for me in today's episode. First of all, that someone has worse internet than me. So keep an ear out for that one, listeners. And please forgive us for the start of the interview. There's a few dropouts and a bit of weird stuff going on, but stick with it. The other surprise was how funny someone else could be compared to me, because I thought I was just like the funniest guy around.
Yeah, that's not a view I've held. I'm sorry about that.
So we do have a few good laughs in today's episode. You'll notice that this one's marked as explicit, not because we use anything super heavy, but there's a few poo words and stuff used and a little bit of innuendo. So we thought we'd just let you know that today's was more of a grown-up episode. But safety can actually be simple and I want to say worthwhile. I mean, safety is always worthwhile, but I think building it into your business, after chatting to our guests today, it can actually make a difference.
It can be very proactive instead of just arbitrary.
Yes. As one of them said today, I think the crap that people have to do.
It's ridiculous.
And for no particular benefit to anybody.
Nope.
So these lads are out to change that. Well, they're already changing that. If you have employees, if you work on a site yourself, or if you have people doing that for you, you really need to pay attention to today's episode. Coxie and I are really excited about what these guys are doing and how they're interrupting and disrupting an industry that seems to be hell-bent on creating more paperwork just for the sake of it. And if that drives you mad, check out today's episode.
Enjoy.
All righty, listeners, we've got a bit of an unusual event on the podcast today, Coxie. We're joined by not one but two guests on the show today, Stuart and Dave. I'm not even going to bother with last names because it's just going to all get too hard and complicated. Welcome to the show, gents.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Thank you. Well. Thanks for having us.
I don't know. Is gents a bit of a stretch? Is that okay to call you gentlemen?
Yeah. You can probably
call Dave that. Let's let the audience decide in about 5 minutes.
I think the hesitation probably says it all. Now, you guys are from a business called Risk Talk, which is going to perplex just about everybody listening to this episode right now. So please, can you unconfuse everybody who's just tuned into the podcast, fellas?
Yeah, no worries. Well, I guess what we do is we use voice tech to make life easier for the guy on the ground when it comes to safety. So essentially, we're trying to make the user experience better for them instead of having to write out a whole bunch of crap, which they don't really read, write, sign, anything like that. We want people actually thinking about risks on site and not just filling out paperwork. And if the user experience is really good, then we get to achieve those goals. And they're also much more efficient in what they're doing. So you're essentially talking to your phone. It analyzes everything for you. And you become compliant just by having the chat rather than ticking boxes.
It's we've had a bit of a chat before we hit record on today's episode, and we've had a few laughs as well. But safety really isn't funny. And we had one of our community here at Tradies in Business. We're aware of an incident that took place in the last couple of weeks, and it's scary stuff. Like the potential hazards for trade businesses are horrendous, and yet there seems to be, I think, a lot of confusion around safety and safety systems, and a lot of not resistance, but I think people just struggle to figure out what the freaking hell they're supposed to do and does it even make a difference. So I guess that's why we're interested to chat to you guys today about your platform and your app and everything, because anything that makes it easier for people to actually stay aware of it means that behaviors might change. I mean, can you maybe tell us a bit about your backgrounds? I know, Stuart, you used to blow stuff up for a living by the sounds of it, mate. That sounds pretty safe. But like, what's been your experience, I suppose, coming into this and dealing with this whole safety aspect? And we probably need a better internet connection as well, because I think Stuart missed all of that and I'm just asking a question. So that's perfect.
I'm back.
And he's still probably on a night out at the end of a tech conference. So he can't really answer the question either. Guys, attitudes to safety, changing behaviors versus filling out paperwork. Obviously, you started this business for a reason. Is that part of it?
Absolutely. But I mean, the user experience of filling out paperwork and forms on site is so crap that it just doesn't actually change any behavior on the ground. Mm-hmm. Like as I was saying before, you can go buy an iPhone, you don't read a manual for it, you get using it straight away. It's the highest piece of yet there we go.
Stuart lives in Australia's most sophisticated city. I just thought I'd bring that up.
And the internet
apparently
died where he is. Yeah.
Looks like we're going to handball it over.
Crushing us here, Stuart.
And Dave.
I said something so profound then.
I know. It was incredibly valuable. And
it's just cut out. It's just changed the world and no one's going to hear it.
And if anyone was going to have a good opinion of your level of intellect, Stuart, I think you just blew it, mate.
Oh, maybe Dave should have answered that.
Yeah, maybe the West Australian should actually have a crack.
Yeah. On board.
I'm very blessed because, you know, West Australia's so far behind the times. The first buildings were built when NBN came out, so everybody's got straight into that.
Straight into your bush shack, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But look, I'm my background is so far from picking up a tool and working that it's not, you know, it's not funny. I'm literally the guy who sits in an office, and that's been my career forever. But the thing is that that means that I'm coming in with fresh eyes. So when Stuart asks me to come in and he's explaining the problem of safety to me, I just, you know, I'm looking at this whole process and procedure and all the bullshit that goes with it. And you sit there and you go, like, how shit would it be to be the guy who's filling out these forms, knowing that at best it's going to go in a box somewhere and maybe, just maybe, gets looked at. But unfortunately, if it gets looked at, there's probably been something gone, you know, something's gone wrong.
Mm. Right? Yeah.
So there's your first problem. You know, we're asking thousands and thousands and thousands of people every single day to fill out these forms that are supposed to keep them safe. But really all they do is, you know, get someone's head down in a clipboard with a pen and they tick a whole bunch of boxes to make someone happy. But no one's safer. I mean, let's be honest. And in the tradie world especially, right, like people are going out to job sites that you might be the only tradie there that day. No one's around, you know, looking over your shoulder. And the irony is that because of that, you're also at really high risk, right? No one's there to help you and save you if something goes wrong. So for me, it was just really eye-opening to see how things are done. And so Stuart came up with this idea where, now, effectively what we do is we let people just talk to their phone about their surroundings and what can hurt and kill them and what they're going to do about it. And it's just 50 times more engaging, right? Your head is naturally up. You're just chatting to your phone. You're not head down in a clipboard or a piece of paper. You're certainly not, you know, ideally not doing it at 5 p.m. when your day's over and you forgot that you were supposed to do a safety assessment that day. So all of those little things are just infinitely easier for everybody involved, including the guys who are supposed to be checking this stuff. You know, they can see it all in real time and remote. So at least you know someone's able to look at it and see it. It's not just a piece of paper that goes nowhere. So you kind of got value across the whole breadth of it. But really, Stuart didn't get a great chance to explain it because he has no internet. But, but you know, he's the guy that came up with this idea. And it really is a game changer for the people in the field who are at risk. They're our customer, right? So when we speak to people who are potentially buying our software in a business, and obviously with tradies, that's typically, you know, your teams of maybe anywhere from two or three guys or even just one, all the way up to maybe, you know, your 20, 30 tradies who work for a company and or maybe even more. But our customer is the guy in the field. They're the ones that we actually care about. And when we sell this, you know, it's an interesting thing because we're actually selling it to people who are often buying and they don't work on the tools. Mm. What I'm getting at here is that we genuinely, our whole value of our company internally, everything that we believe in is making the job easier for the people who are actually doing the work and actually at risk and who really need to be thinking about hazards and risks because they're real and you can get hurt. But we need to flip the whole process on its head. Like right now, it's just broken. It doesn't work. Yeah. No one likes it.
Yep.
Yeah. You can go on for hours if you want. But yeah.
I mean, and just on that, I guess, Dave, coming from that banking background, you would be used to bureaucracy process for the sake of process that doesn't actually achieve anything. And Coxie and I, we see the questions getting asked in our tradies in business groups, both our free groups and our members groups about safety, and people are just confused. Mm. They're literally baffled by the bureaucracy of it all. It's like, what do I have to do to cover my ass so I don't get sued or put in jail? And more importantly, what do I do to make sure people actually stay safe? So, you know, it's like neither of those aims are actually being achieved by the current system. And it's just, it boggles my brain that we've ended up with a bunch of bloody boxes to be ticked and it does nothing.
Yeah. There's an interesting irony in that is that the regulation part of it, you know, that compliance part of the whole process, the regulators don't want people filling out forms. That's not what they want. If you speak to a regulator, they'll tell you that that's not what they want. They want people actively thinking and, you know, critically thinking about risk and what they're going to do about it so that they don't get hurt. Mm. But somehow in this chain of events over, you know, nearly 100 years now, we've been stuck with this form system and, you know, ticking boxes and writing down what someone wants to see on a form instead of actually like really thinking about it and talking about it and doing all those things, which you should be doing. So self-regulation and self-compliance has become part of the problem. And that's another part of what we're sort of trying to fix, where it just becomes a natural conversation about what's going on and we capture it. And that's the best way to manage risk, really, in our view anyway.
We also chat to heaps of companies and they initially when they start talking, they go, oh, well, you need to make sure that we've got everything to keep us out of prison or stop us getting sued and all that kind of stuff. And the first thing that we tell them is like, well, why don't you switch that on its head and go, well, why isn't our ultimate goal to try and keep these guys safe and efficient at what they're doing? And in turn, that will keep you out of prison rather than aiming to keep yourself out of prison and then forgetting about the guy on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, let's just concentrate solely on keeping those guys safe and efficient in what they're doing. And then that'll keep you, we call it accidentally compliant because we're not aiming for compliance, which is quite ironic actually in the whole accident part of it. But if you can focus on those guys, then you're going to be, everything's going to be fine anyway.
Yes, I find it really interesting in that, you know, every tradie I ever talk to, so I've come from the office position, had to go onto site as builders and implement a safety system. It's complicated. I can't understand it. I don't know which form's supposed to go when. I had to go through a lot of training and spend $6,000 on paperwork to make sure we were compliant, and none of it kept our team safe. Instead, what it did was create friction on site because somebody hadn't filled out the right form at the right time, or create friction between the office and the subbies because they weren't sending through the paperwork that was required, rather than having the opportunity to just risk assess as we go, which is what tradies are consistently doing. It's pretty rare you'll find a tradie that hasn't had the thought, whether they really understand they're thinking it at the time or not, that, okay, this is the task I'm about to perform. These are the risks that are involved. This is how I'm going to keep myself safe. And then they go and do the job. So they're naturally doing it. Giving them the opportunity to just talk that out really enforces the safety steps that need to be taken. But it also means that they're actually thinking about what they're doing rather than, as we've spoken about, ticking the boxes, which I've done so many times and it did not make anybody safe. It just hurt my wrist. If anything, it made me less safe.
Your RSI. I wonder if there's a swims for RSI.
Yeah, well, you have to tick that many boxes. You probably would get RSI, right?
It's incredible. So I'm really intrigued to understand how the idea came to speak to the phone or to the app and have turn that into the I guess, correct documentation and the correct procedure to keep everybody safe.
Well, I guess it originally came from the guys on the ground. So we went around talking to all the tradies, all the workmen, foremen, whoever from all the guys on the ground. And we're asking about safety processes, everything like that. And this is all different industries as well. There is not one industry that we believe that the safety kind of environment isn't broken. If you go to mining, they fill out tape fives, the same thing every day, often do it in their dongers. You go to construction, they're doing the same shit every day. But having a chat with the guys on the ground, they just said, well, can't we just talk about it? And we're like, yeah, why not? Let's just create a tool where you can just have a chat about it. And so that's just encouraging the conversation. Also, when they're talking to each other, they're learning off each other a lot more. And we change the questions and things to inspire more critical thinking as well. So if you change the question slightly and everything's configurable, you can get a whole bunch of different answers. They might go into a huge amount of detail with one thing or or not much detail and another thing. But that conversation and the amount of information you get from a conversation is ridiculous. It's amazing. And then if like supervisors, managers, regulators, whoever want to listen, they can jump in, listen. If you give them access, I don't think all regulators are going to get access to every tradies company out there. But yeah, you can jump in, you can listen, you can hear the interaction between people. You can hear it if one guy's just talking about the risks, and actually you can, by the way you listen to people, you can essentially envisage them looking up and pointing at things and talking about genuine risks that are out there.
Yeah.
Rather than slips, trips, falls, blah, blah, blah. Which is just a bunch of crap that you hear see every single time on a risk assessment.
I think one of my favorite parts of this system is that myself back in the office here, who's responsible for the safety of our team, can actually see that they've actively done what needs to be done rather than dropping into site every couple of days to make sure the paperwork is filled out. I can see that it's being done in real time. They are actually thinking about their safety on a day-to-day basis rather than it. Well, look, I'm sure it happens anyway, but it's not being documented or captured. So this provides that opportunity for it to be easily captured.
Exactly. And it's very quick as well. Mm. The amount of information that you can talk about in 2 to 3 minutes, it'll take you 6 hours to write out. Even this conversation that we're having at the moment, I mean, imagine if we had someone try and scribe everything that we're talking about. Mm. It would just go on for days.
That's right.
They get sick of typing and ah if they're typing out my bit. Have you found resistance, maybe not so much from users, but are you bumping up against some of the entrenched practices, you know, the incumbent businesses that have literally built their revenue streams off paperwork?
A little bit. we are effectively telling thousands of people that they've been doing a shit job for a long time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't mean to be, and we like Stuart, let's be honest, Stuart was a safety guy for a really long time, and he was part of that. And he'll admit, he's the first person to admit it, that he was part of all of that. Mm. He just happened to be one of those rare guys that like actively listened to his team and realized that this isn't right. Like it's not working. It's not.
Yeah.
We're not doing the right thing by the guys in the field. And that's how RiskTalk came to be. But yeah, 100%. Like the other thing is not just that people individually, you know, might feel uncomfortable about what we're doing to their industry. It's also just getting their head around that it can even be done this way. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like we're talking about a pretty dramatic shift in the way people manage and assess risk and how they record it or document it. And it took, like, we've existed for conceptually and had a product that we could show someone for nearly 4 years. And it took until maybe a couple of years ago that people could even just envision it
yeah.
and understand. I think realistically, OK Google and Hey Alexa and Siri and all those things probably have helped us, you know, massively, right? Like, because now it's so entrenched in everyone's homes and so on.
And people are used to talking.
The short answer is we're stomping on a whole bunch of people's toes, right?
Have you had any death threats yet?
No, not yet. I've sent a few Stuart's way over the last couple of years.
But I'm always fascinated by businesses like yours and people like you that are essentially, you know, for want of a better wank word, disruptors. And or interrupters, you know, you're interrupting patterns and cycles in businesses and the way things are done. What sort of, challenges have you faced in actually getting this out there and overcoming some of those things you talk about, Dave, with people like, can we even do this?
One really good example of the entrenched way things are done is the first question that every single person asks is, do you do voice to text? And we're always like, why? Like we do, by the way, like we do. You can export a PDF and you can share that PDF straight from our dashboard via email to whoever, you know, whichever client or whatever, whoever needs it. But we're always like, well, why would a safety person ask that? Like what is it that they're trying to achieve by turning that audio file into text, which is the old way, right? When you could listen to a recording and like hear the mood the person's in, are they engaged in this process or not? You know, are multiple people engaged in this process or is it just one guy talking? And like voice is so rich as a data source. And like, that's one like perfect example. That was a huge job to be able to turn that into a PDF.
Mm.
Like, so basically the first thing everyone asks for is like, hey, can you make it the old way as well?
Like, yeah.
Can you build this innovative tool and then make it produce what we are used to?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like one example of a real, you know, big hurdle that we've had to overcome. But I think Stu would agree probably that educating people that you can do this differently and we can do it way better is probably the hardest part of we've had to create a market effectively to sort of solve the problem.
Even myself, when we started the conversation before we went on air, I'm like, hang on, how does this actually work from my point of view as a builder? And are we going to do swims? And, you know, we had a pretty robust conversation before we even started because I couldn't wrap my head around it. But it makes complete sense to me. And our listeners are probably still scratching their head and wondering how it works. Can you talk us through how this actually works?
Dave?
Give it to the banker.
So I think the simplest way to describe it is if you think about a traditional risk assessment on a piece of paper, you have a whole bunch of fields that require you to either tick a box or handwrite a few sentences in it, which is inherently disengaging and really slow. So what Stuart, the concept and the way we go about it is that wherever there's a field that you're handwriting anything, that you can just talk about it. And we capture all of that information as a recording. And then we structure all of those recordings up in a way that's meaningful so that, you know, people can listen to it who need to listen to it. And that it's all documented. And ironically, it ends up looking a lot like a traditional JHA in the sense that it's there's a clear flow, like what job are you doing today? Where are you doing it? We capture where automatically. We capture when automatically. We capture who automatically. So you've already removed three fields that are really annoying that didn't need to be there. And, you know, it's just really natural. So you're talking about what you're going to do. You're talking about the hazards and risks around you and you're talking about what you're doing about it. You take a few photos if you want. Then we capture all of that and it gets sent and documented as an individual safety activity, whether, you know, a risk assessment or a hazard identification or whatever it is. And we do have a handful of pieces where they are a checkbox. And it's really just the one main one, which is your high risk activity or your critical or material risk.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that is structured is because realistically, the way legislation and regulatory bodies are about high-risk activities, especially in construction, right? That, and bear in mind, I'm not the safety brains behind this. I am the tech guy. But so if I say something wrong, bear with me. But those things are non-negotiable. Like working at heights is non-negotiable. So we wanted to have a structured thing there where it prompted a conversation about those high-risk activities and that you selected which ones were relevant to your job and the controls that were relevant as well. And for us, and we understand why they're non-negotiable because that shit can really hurt people and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the one part of our tool that is, you know, like a checkbox. But even that experience is different to just like ticking a box. And we try to prompt a conversation around those things to really engage. But that is effectively what it does. So, you know, where you're on a work site and you guys are talking about hazards and risks around you, which you're probably naturally doing anyway, we're enabling you to do that. And as part of having that natural conversation that you're kind of having anyway, we document it and it becomes your risk assessment.
Mm.
We've just wiped out a whole bunch of wank and waste of time and all that. We all know how that is. So, yeah, we basically allow what naturally happens to be a documented risk assessment.
I think it's really important to point out that it's prompted. So, yes, you're having a natural conversation, but you're being led through that as well. So there's no opportunity because I know if I had not have seen the demo, I'd probably be sitting here thinking, I know the guys on site. They're going to forget to do five steps in this, but you're actually led through it. You can't escape without completing the process to, A, keep you safe, but, B, also keep you compliant.
Yeah, it's not like one long recording.
Nice.
Yeah, there are a bunch of questions the app asks you and you record your response. But the wording and the way that user or the flow of that and the wording of the questions prompts you to have your head up and looking around while you're talking instead of just having your head down in a form with the guy with the best handwriting and then everyone else.
The poor bugger who can actually write
exactly
properly. It's like, here you go, you're doing the safety.
Yeah. And
We also refuse to put stuff into our application side of it. We can do whatever we want to the data in the back end for managers to make pretty graphs and stuff like that. But we refuse to put things in our app which don't follow three key principles, where it's got to be more engaging, more efficient, or more intuitive for that person on the ground. So those are our three key principles. No matter how big the company is, we kind of ask that question, well, which of these kind of principles does it follow? Are you adding a checklist in there to make 5,000 guys on the ground their life just that little bit harder so you can print out a graph for your manager at the end of the month? And that comes up a lot, actually, but it's got to be those things. And it is especially, you know, like intuitiveness, like everything we do these days is intuitive apart from this kind of safety process which we go through. I mean, you can go hop in any car outside and drive it if you want and you haven't read a manual for it.
Yeah.
Or use an iPhone or anything like that. Yet we've got to read a procedure about how to fill out a form and what good looks like form to how to fill that out exactly the same as that. So it's just like, well, let's just go back to the basics. Keep it like very engaging and intuitive for those guys on the ground. And then because they're thinking about all those things, they're going to be safer in the end anyway.
Mm. Guys, can we, I know this is maybe going back over some things we've covered, but thinking most of our listeners are, I guess, you know, SMEs, they're smaller trade businesses, husband and wife owned and run, maybe, you know, anywhere from 1 to 5 or 10 employees, like, you know, they're sort of salt of the earth businesses. Can you run through maybe how this would work on like a typical day with guys on site turning up, the business owner's not actually there? Like, how does our plumber actually make this work for his business and his team?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, they'll have a login and everything like that. So they'll download the app, have a login, they'll get to site. You can have a task or a job allocation in there if you like. So they might be allocated a certain task from a client or a certain job. They can get in there, have a look around, but they'll just click on the app, open it up, and then they'll ask, well, can you describe the job that you're doing? So if they're a plumber, then they might be digging out a trench. They might be doing a whole range of things. So they'll talk about it. Any critical risks that might be involved or any of your high risk construction work. And then a really good question that we ask is, are there any other risks and how you're controlling them? So this might be like for a plumber, might be dogs which are running around. There might be kids around the place. And this is where they're generally looking around, going, well, let's see what's happening here. Is in Brisbane, it might be like 45 degrees today, which is going to be hot this weekend. So they might go, I'm going to take more regular breaks or even put up a shade cloth where they're going to be trenching, or obviously get the apprentice to do it.
That's a risk in itself.
Yeah, exactly. And that's essentially it. So you're there, you chat about it. You can do a risk rating if you want. We don't entirely agree on the risk rating process because it doesn't change too many decisions made on the ground, but you can do that if you like, and that's it. And then it all gets sent off to whoever you like. If you've got a client that needs the information, otherwise it stores in our back end. We store it forever. If your regulator ever comes on or someone comes on, then you can just go, bang, log into here. You'll be able to listen and see everything that we've done. So it's a very, very, very simple process.
And from a small business owner's perspective too, I know when I hear about safety incidents with trade business owners, my first thought as their coach or mentor or just someone who gives a stuff is, what happened? And I want to know, well, how did that come about? You know, what led to that? And pieces of paper aren't going to tell me whether you actually checked the roof before you put the ladder up. And, you know, there's just not enough detail in the current system, I believe, as a non safety guy and a non sort of site person, and probably a bit like Dave. You know, I kind of look at this stuff, it's like, how is this of any value to anybody? Because it doesn't tell me what happened, doesn't tell me what got missed, doesn't tell me why it got missed. Whereas this just
Be careful asking that question too much. It'll hurt your brain after a little while.
My brain is mush today, mate. different reasons to yours, though, Dave. So,
if you hadn't already realised, listeners, we had a festival here last night. So
and I want to do the air quotes festival. Yeah.
Well, it was a week long tech festival here in WA.
And those tech people, they know how to party, hey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mate.
Everyone rocking up on their scooters.
the field personnel sledging the office workers.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
I love this.
I got to wear high vis for the first time recently, which was cool.
Was that on the float in the street parade?
We went to a mine site somewhere. But yeah. I think just something else that like comes to my mind a lot, particularly for tradies, that, well, there's two parts of this. The first is that there is not a tradie in the world, especially because they're small businesses, that doesn't absolutely care for their workers, right?
Mm.
Like the last thing that they want is for one of their workers to get hurt. So it's not like they don't take safety seriously. It's just that they don't really know how to do it, you know, how to document it in the right way that they won't lose their business, which is the outcome, you know, potentially even jail time nowadays, which is really quite difficult for a small business to have that sort of hanging over their head, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's a really big problem. And the frank reality is, I mean, my family are all, they're small business owners, right? I've seen it day in, day out. Once a problem becomes too big, you end up pushing it away somewhere, right?
Yep.
Because your life is managing cash flow and all of the other things that are the lifeblood of your business that are brutal, they're really hard. And then you've just got this safety thing that's kind of forced on you that you're already doing anyway. You care about your workers. You're already talking about making sure they don't get hurt and all the rest. But then you've got to document all this bullshit and you've got to have a safety system and you've got to have all this other stuff that costs a fortune. You don't actually know what you're doing. So then you've got to pay for a consultant, so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that one of the things that having, like using a tool that simplifies that whole process is it's documenting it all. So you're kind of taking away a huge hurdle for yourself immediately, right? And outside of the safety part, you're also massively de-risking your business because you're now doing the right thing. You're documenting it and you've made it easy. You're not losing too much money on the back of it because it's not taking an hour to fill out the stupid form that does nothing. You're paying these tradies, you know, a lot of money per hour and they're sitting there doing these forms that don't add any value to your business and so on. I mean, you could go on for ages about those benefits. But the one big one that I always think of is the apprentice relationship and learning path. Like let's look at the two scenarios. One is you rock up to a site and you've got one or two tradies and an apprentice. And someone fills out the form and then the apprentice either comes on and signs it or he's the guy just ticking the boxes and he's not looking and listening to it. He's just like, just fill that out and sign it. So he's learned nothing, right? You have a conversation, he's listening to it and he's part of it, and there's a huge knowledge transfer the whole time. And it's naturally happening anyway, but like we're just removing a whole heap of bullshit that he's not engaged in. So the apprentice has learned nothing in the old way, but in the new way, he's just engaged in a conversation and potentially learning the whole way through. So not only have you made everybody safer, you're also teaching people the whole time. And you're also teaching your boss, right? Your boss is up there in the in the office and he listens to the audio and he's learning about the sites that these guys are working on, the environment they're working in. So he knows. It's just the benefit. You end up sounding like a car salesman, but like it really does make a massive difference. And that's the last thing Stuart and I want to be. running around.
You have to be a banker.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the
first we're passionate, right? And like we want to make a big difference. So those are pretty big benefits in my eyes. That's how I sort of look at, particularly to a tradie.
Can I ask a question, Stuart? I know you were going to jump in there, mate. I want to understand, why are you guys so passionate about this?
Oh, I mean, my background is in safety and I've seen a lot of things out there just across all different industries, from fatal incidents to broken backs and broken necks and all that kind of stuff. And also just because speaking to the guys on the ground, they just don't believe in any of this kind of stuff. They don't believe that filling out paperwork works. They don't think it's a thing. Managers might think it's great because they filled out a piece of paper, but it's a broken system we believe it's broken and we want to fix it. Mm. And it should be a lot easier. I mean, especially working as a safety guy, thinking that everyone and knowing that everyone hates the safety process and, oh, that's the safety guy. So I don't want to be the hated guy. I want to be the guy who enables everyone on the ground rather than bloody like makes their work harder.
Yeah.
That was my whole basis behind why I kind of wanted to get this thing happening.
What Stuart's saying is he wanted people to like him more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort
of being ostracized in the lunchroom.
Oh, absolutely. That safety dickhead.
There's one part of this system that's very broken and we haven't spoken about yet, and that's reporting issues on site. So to use my own example, we had an incident on site where somebody had knocked down half of the SCAF. We were having a big crane come in. It was a pretty integral day that we needed this to be safe. We need to get the SCAF guys back in, but nobody had told us there was an issue. So a big part of what your app is able to do is report those issues back to management so they can immediately do something about the issue that's there rather than being ignored. And something tradies don't particularly do well is communicate. That's a bit of a blanket statement, but it's not their strong suit generally. But this just makes it so easy for them to communicate that information back to where it needs to be so the issue can be addressed. What was the reason behind adding that in? Was it just simply so the communication was clear, or was it something more deep?
Well, it's a bit of both. Like, we just wanted to make it very easy for them to do it. People don't pick up phones and make phone calls these days anyway. It's kind of a bit of a last resort. But if you just made that user experience very easy for them to report anything. If you're digging a trench and you hit an underground service, just make it very quick and easy for them to go, I've done this. I've hit an underground wire. I don't think it's live, but I'll take a photo of it. And just in case anything happens, or you hit something, hit a gas main, it's like, oh crap, and flick it off quickly. Then your managers and supervisors can then action it very quickly and get things shut down, rather than just kind of trying to ignore it for as long as possible, or only reporting it at the end of the day. Not that you would ignore a gas main. So you hit a wire, only reporting it at the end of the day, yet the next door neighbors, I know TV's been out for the day, or their computers are down or internet's down. So it's just a very quick and easy way for people to be able to report it, action it, and get that communication channel open.
And it keeps everybody in the loop if and when, I guess, there is an incident. It's that, so what happened? It's just all taken care of.
And once again, you're just talking about it as well, rather than a lot of times people have to fill out statements, which you're not going to get the best statement out of anyone from a handwritten thing. No. You don't have someone with a doctorate often that's writing out a statement for them. It's people go to work on the tools and things with their hands because that's what they like doing, and you don't need to write a doctorate to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't just get people talking about it?
So what are you guys hoping to do across the industry? You know, that the whole, if we talk about the safety industry, I guess, and the trades, especially based on, this being the Tradies in Business podcast, do you have a wish or a mission or something that you're on?
I guess my number one thing is trying to get people not seeing safety as a pain in the ass.
Mission statement. I love that.
Yeah.
And website.
Genuinely just thinking and talking about it, as you say, that they'll probably do anyway. But then not have to go back and fill out four pages of information about what they're actually doing. Mm. So if people can actually genuinely think, be safer, and it be an actual just the way they do work rather than something on the side, then that's the ultimate goal for me. Dave, being the tech head, loves all the data that comes out of it.
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, we get a massive kick when you're hearing feedback from people that, you know, this is way better than how it has been and that it actually helps them or whatever. And I'm also one of those guys that hates the man, right? Like I hate the fact that this shit just somewhat up above forces this shit on people. That really bugs me. Like, it's really annoying. There's no, like, you're not valuing how smart your team is by giving them this like shitty form and saying, hey, fill this out. It means nothing, but you're keeping me out of prison. So, you know, like,
yeah,
it's just, yeah, exactly. Right. And, and thanks for coming. Oh, by the way, that hour you just lost filling that form out, you got to make that up. Mm. Oh, that's, you know, it's the whole process is bullshit. In my view, I'm sorry for everyone who feels otherwise, but, you know, it all started really altruistically. It all started with people caring about people losing their life and getting injured. There's no doubt, right? But now it's just at the point where we've got to, it's 2020. Well, it's time to make this a little bit better. So yeah, that's kind of where I see it going. It'd be nice if everyone, like Stuart said, didn't hate safety so much.
You need to have a mascot, the We Love Safety guy.
Yeah,
just a big effigy of Stuart. You know, it's like, we love Stuart, handsome, who's actually frozen on our video screen with a deer in the headlights kind of a look there.
Oh, he's back. Kind of. I reckon someone's dug a trench and hit your NBN line, Stuart.
Did they use the app to report?
Yeah, clearly not.
I bet they did not. I'm going to just quickly throw something in here for any of our listeners who are, we've actually just completely lost Stuart then. So, yep, I reckon Sydney's NBN just went down. The undersea cable just got cut by a trawler. but I bang on a lot about, you know, writing things down, and you've got to write stuff down. Just talking about it's no good. And I suppose in some sense, some of our listeners might be recalling me say that and going, well, this just completely contradicts that whole thing. Yeah, yeah. Just invalidated the entire episode. But the difference being, I observe a lot of talk that happens that doesn't change anything because there's nothing actionable out of it. And the probably the simplest way in working with business owners, especially with that knowledge transfer, is to get other people to write down what they are talking about. And something that I commonly say to business owners and senior tradespeople is, if you're telling somebody or talking to somebody about something with the intent of teaching them, have them take some notes. And I've been listening to you guys talk about risk talk, about this whole system. And I love the fact that it's taking that verbal and turning it into something hard, like it's a recording. You're not going to have an apprentice stand there and record a carpenter talking about how to check in a hinge and record the audio file so he can listen back to it later. But this is, you know, obviously we're looking to go in the opposite direction and get rid of paperwork, but still create a record and have something tangible and ultimately something that is more likely to change behavior. So to anybody listening that's like, oh, but Woz always says, you know, if it's not written down, it's not on this planet. It's like, well, it's still bloody well captured. So
stay in your pipe. No.
And it's a podcast, so you can't talk back. fellas, what's the future look like for Risk Talk?
Stuart's going to have unlimited number of friends.
Be the most
people
popular man
like
in
safety
Australia.
People again.
So. Yeah.
Poor Stuart. He's sort of stuck in no man's land there.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can't even defend myself here.
That's okay. We've had fun at your expense.
Yeah, that's right. It's right for living in Australia's most internet provisioned city.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the best thing I've ever heard on our system was, it was almost a repeat of when I first started working in industry, kind of when I was 18, 19. And one of the guys there said, never put your finger where you wouldn't put your dick.
I love it.
And
Stuart's safety message to all of humanity.
And then after, like literally 2 weeks ago, these guys were repairing a machine and had to take the guarding off. And he said, we're going to keep our fingers away from here. And then he asked the apprentice why. And the apprentice repeated exactly that same thing. And we asked if we could use it as a bit of a demonstration.
But which one of you demoed that? That's what I want to know.
I love it.
Sorry?
Dear idea. Yeah. All right, this was meant to be a really serious and like dry episode, like life insurance or something, safety, you know. But
no, we're talking about putting our dick in things,
not putting your wang where you wouldn't put your finger. All right,
but imagine morning.
Imagine seeing that written on a risk assessment. Yet you've actually got it happening in a risk assessment, and the apprentice is talking about it, and he knows that he can't put his fingers anywhere, that he wouldn't do that.
And he'll never ever forget it, right? And it'll be the first thing he thinks about every single time he's going to put his fingers anywhere.
Oh, I remember it from 17 years ago.
The only trouble with that is, I think, given that it is 2020, we need to degenderize that somehow. I'm just not quite sure I want to go there on this episode.
Oh, no.
We were skirting with disaster all morning. All right, so let's try and gather this up, shall we, Coxie? 1,000 tradies in a room, guys. What's one piece of advice you just desperately want to leave them with?
Feel like Stuart's just given it.
Come on, I was hoping to regather this episode, actually.
Sorry.
Trust the banker.
Well, I always reckon that they shouldn't do anything just for the man, or just ticking boxes, or just doing something to create a pretty graph for upper management. It always should be about what's going to keep him safe on the ground, how they can talk about it, and transfer that knowledge to other people as well.
Yep.
That's the ultimate goal of why we do everything in safety.
Mm, love it.
I like it, Stuart. Dave, have you got anything to enhance Stuart's response, mate?
I might as well put the banker hat on and just explain that the efficiency gain that you pick up using tools like this mean that you get to make a little bit more money, which is nice for everyone, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you can find tools that help you make money, look at them.
Yeah, totally. And that's something I've been thinking while you guys have been chatting about this today in between the innuendo, was just the time saving for SMEs, for smaller business owners, the amount of time that gets literally wasted on the current approach to safety systems, even just that way of describing it has to tell you something about it. But if this can be done incidentally during someone's actions at work, where, like you say, they just literally talk about what they're doing that anyway.
Mm.
It's like, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Like, it happens in toolbox meetings everywhere all the time.
Yep.
It just saves so much time, so much confusion, and business owners can focus on marketing or cash flow or whatever the heck else they're supposed to be doing, and actually get on with why they're in business in the first place. So I love it, fellas.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, so people, if they've toughed out the internet dropouts, the innuendo, and the low-level profanity, and they've got to this stage of the episode, they probably want to find out more about Risk Talk. Where do they go to do that, guys?
You can just go to risktalk.com.au and you can log in and have a look around, see if you like anything, or you can contact us directly. Our emails are on there.
Jeez, that's bold.
Yeah.
Putting your email address.
Any trader who has a website, the spam, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We could take that right back to the previous safety statement, really, couldn't we? But I'll leave that one there.
Well, awesome chat, guys. I'm going to say thank you on behalf of small business owners, trade business owners, for having a pretty good crack at disrupting what has become a really almost unmanageable beast for a lot of responsible people. And I think it comes back to what you said, pretty much in just about every case, business owners and employers want to take care of their people. Like, they actually give a shit about their people, and the current system makes it hard for them to do that. So, really appreciate your time today. Sounds like a fantastic system. Keen to see more about it. And yeah, we might organize a better internet connection next time for you, Stuart.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
<It's all good. laughs>
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us,
guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.